saying this morning. God, you're all we want. You're already here, Lord. Wrap your arms around each and every person that's here today, God. You are all we want. Fill us and move through us, God.
at the highest throne, welcomed by a melody, an anthem I have always known, a song that's always been in me. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you. A million angels fall face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing with all of heaven roar. Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is. Memorized by every heart, written in eternity. Every lifted voice apart, 'cause we're joining in the symphony. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you. Oh, all wisdom and wonder belong to no.
Forever echo, holy is the Lord. I've I heard recently that we read the Bible looking for us in the scriptures, and I was challenged to read the Bible looking for God in the scriptures. Then the next day I read these words in Matthew 26:67. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?" And my heart was broken after reading that. And I realized that I have spit in his face, and I have punched and I have slapped him. But in Hebrews 4:13, it says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes." Y'all, he knew everything that I was going to do and everything that I will do. And he still chose to save me, and he still chooses to save you. Micah 7:19 says, "Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean." Psalm 86:13 says, "For your love for me is so very great, and you have rescued me from the depths of death." Lord Jesus, we thank you for a love that is so amazing that we can't comprehend it. What kind of love dies for us while we are still in shame and guilt? We ask for forgiveness and repent for the times we have sinned against you. Thank you for having compassion on us and rescuing us from the depths of that death. Lord, help us to seek you out in every area of our lives and to keep our eyes on you always. And it's in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. If this is your first time visiting with us in person or online, welcome. We are so glad that you've decided to worship with us today. At New Covenant Church, we invite all people in the communities where we live to know, hear, and respond to Jesus Christ. You can learn more about NCC, become part of our church family, or join our serve team by going to our Connect class. If you would like to bless what God is doing through the ministries at NCC with your tithes and offerings, you can use the offering boxes or give online at newcovenantlampasas.com. If you'd like more information about what's going on here at NCC, please visit the hub after the service. Again, we are so glad you are here with us this morning. Now, let's open our hearts to the Word.
Good morning. We are so glad that you are with us for worship this morning. Welcome. Before we get into the message this morning, I want to just take a moment and pray for the nation of Israel. Will you join with me in praying? Father, I thank you that in Isaiah 43:1, you said, "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for the protection you provided over the nation of Israel last night. Lord, and we thank you that you are protecting them today and forever. Lord, your word proclaims a future and a hope for the nation of Israel. Lord, all the way through Revelation, your word promises that there will be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Lord, and you will be faithful to them till the end. And we know that you will be faithful to them today. And we ask you, Lord, to be with them, that you would comfort them, that you would provide for the peace of the nation of Israel, your people, your chosen people, Lord. And we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, knowing that they are in your hands and we are in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God is faithful and good, and we are so thankful for that. Before we get into the message, I just have two related announcements. First of all, we will be having our middle school and high school youth this evening at the normal time, and we will be getting wrapping it up in time for them to join us if they're part of our serve team at 6 p.m. And that's the second announcement, is that if you are currently serving in any area in NCC, or if you're interested in serving, we would want to invite you to join us this evening at 6 p.m. for our quarterly Serve Summit. It's a time that we'll fellowship together and a time for us to thank each and every one of you for serving in the area that you serve, and a time also for us to share a vision and just have some dinner together. Dinner will be provided. There's also childcare available if you pre-register for that. So, and there's a QR code in the back. You can still sign up for that and join us this evening, and we hope you will make plans to attend that tonight. The topic of our Serve team actually lines up with our message this morning as we continue this series on The Way Matters. Last Sunday, we looked at Jesus' way of the cross, and this morning, we're going to look at Jesus' way of the servant. In John chapter 14, 6 through 7, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." It's interesting that in this passage, the way comes first. And the way that we follow Jesus matters. The way is so important. I think we often underestimate the importance of the way. Yesterday, Candy and I traveled to Abilene to see our oldest daughter run in a race. And when we put the location in our map, it gave us three ways to get there. Two of them were almost identical. They were different ways, but only about 2 minutes apart in time. The other one was almost 30 minutes longer. But the point that I want to make isn't on how long the journey would take. It's more that there was three ways to the destination. And I actually pulled it up again this morning, and the truth is there were many other roads that would take us to that destination, countless ways. In fact, on the way there, we stopped off at the library to drop two books off. That was part of our way to get to Abilene. And while we might think that the goal is just to get to the destination, and that might be fine when you're just going somewhere to see your child run a race, it doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. God isn't just concerned with whether or not we get to the destination or not. He's concerned with how we get there. And this is so critical. I want us to look at the definition for the word "the way" again. We looked at it last week, but it's important that we understand this. And the Greek word that's used in this passage is hadas, and it literally means a traveled way, a road, or a traveler's way. And metaphorically, it means a course of conduct, a way or manner of thinking, feeling, and deciding. So Jesus was calling anyone who would follow him, who would follow in his way, to follow his example, his course of life. He's calling us to live our lives in the same manner that he lived his, for us to literally travel the road that he traveled and continues to travel. There was a reason Jesus said, "Follow me," so many times. You know, another road trip example, when we're traveling somewhere with a group of people, like maybe two cars or three vehicles, there's times that we've gone on family vacations together and travel that way. And unfortunately, in my mind, we travel together. We all ride together and follow each other. But I don't like that because it takes longer. If I had my choice, we'd all go on our way to the same place. Yeah, we're going to the same location, but when you need to stop, stop. We're going to keep on going until we need to stop. And we'll all get there faster if we do it that way. But sometimes people are just like, "Well, we just want to stay together." I'm like, "Yeah, but it takes longer." And the whole point of any trip is to get to the destination. Yeah, that's how I look at it. And so it's frustrating to me. But I don't think Jesus is so concerned about how fast we get there. Not if we're following him. He'll take care of the pace. We'll get there when we get there. We'll get there on time as long as we stay with Him. So the way matters. And Jesus commanded us, called us to follow Him. And this can be much harder than we think. And one of the reasons for that is because one thing I'm certain of is Jesus' ways are opposite to ours. They're contrary to ours. They always rub against our thoughts, our ways. Why? Of all the ways that Jesus could lead us, why would part of the way require both He and us and anyone who would follow Him to be servants? Before we look at some passages on Jesus living the life of a servant, I wanted us to take a look at the definition of this word servant from a biblical perspective. The word servant in the Greek is doulos. And it means one who gives themselves up to another's will, devoted to another to the disregard of their own interests. Ugh. Who wants to do that? We're going to start out by looking at a few passages that don't use the actual word servant. But it's clear that what Jesus describes in these passages is this definition of servanthood. He was giving himself up to another's will. He was devoting himself to another to the disregard of his own interests. In John 5:19, it says, "So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." Jesus was saying He only did what He saw the Father do. In John 5:30, it says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Remember, a servant gives themselves up to another's will. And Jesus was saying He did nothing on His own, and He did not seek His own will, but the will of the Father. In John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Again, Jesus came and lived to fulfill the Father's will, not His own. And in John 12:49 through 50, Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has Himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." So everything that Jesus spoke was what the Father gave Him to speak. Everything He did and said was what the Father bid Him to do and what the Father bid Him to say. Clearly, Jesus was walking in the way of a servant. Jesus lived a life of submission to the Father as an example to us. It was part of His everyday course of life. It was Jesus showing us the way to live. And it was totally contrary to the ways of the world and the ways of our flesh and the ways of our desires. One account that displays Jesus' way of servanthood vividly is when Jesus washes His disciples' feet. We're going to look at this account in John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around His waist. And then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him." we can't overlook the importance of verse 3. Jesus, fully knowing who he was, fully secure in his identity as the Son of God, rose from the table to serve. And not just to serve, but to perform one of the most menial duties a servant could perform. You know, as Candy shared a word after worship, she said that we could look at the Word of God through his eyes to put ourselves in his shoes. Jesus, the Son of God, knowing he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, stood up from the table, wrapped a towel around his waist, and washed his disciples' feet. He served them. He modeled the life of a servant, knowing he was the Son of God. Remember, a servant is one who gives themselves up to another's will, devoted to another, even to the disregard of their own interests. Why would he do this? Well, let's see. We're going to jump to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." One more point on identity. We read just a moment ago in verse 3 that Jesus, knowing who he was, rose to serve. Now he's making it clear to the disciples that he hasn't forgot who he is. He knows who he is. And he tells them, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, that means I expect you to follow me. Follow my way in serving others. I'm calling you to lay aside your will for the will of another, for the will of the Father. And I'm calling you to be devoted to another, to the Father, even to the disregard of your own interests. And I'm not just commanding you, I'm living out the example in front of you. If anyone had the right to say they would never serve anyone, it was Jesus Christ. He was higher than any king, any ruler. He was born with more birthright than anyone to ever live. But he chose to serve. And in verse 15 he says, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, then blessed are you if you do them." He actually wants us to do these things. Jesus wants us to follow his example. And it wasn't just to wash people's feet. That was an example of living the life of a servant. Jesus lived this example and demonstrated this example every single day. Every moment of his life. Not just the day that he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus submitted his will and his ways to the will and way of the Father every day, every moment of his life. Everything he did and everything he said was in accordance with what he saw the Father doing and what the Father was saying. That's why Jesus could proclaim to his disciples, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And he could proclaim that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one would ever come to the Father except through him. With him. if you think about it, if we follow Jesus, our whole walk will literally follow him to the Father. That's where he went. That's where he is now. That's where he's calling us to be. And if step by step we follow him at his pace, where he calls us to do, go, doing what he's calling us to do, in the end, we will be with the Father. It's the only place Jesus goes. Jesus said we need to get baptized. He didn't just tell us to do it. He modeled it. When we share with people who are going to get baptized, that's one of the things that I always share with them. Jesus never asked us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. He says we need to be baptized. He was baptized. The Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, humbly submitted to being baptized. Jesus said we need to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus received the Holy Spirit. Jesus said we need to pick up our cross and follow him. Jesus picked up his cross and he died on that cross. He promised us a resurrected life, and Jesus was resurrected, and he promises us to be faithful to resurrect us. And he's called us to live the life of a servant. And he lived the life of a servant. Not only did he serve the Father, he served us, humanity, God himself, God in the flesh, washed the feet of the men who were following him. He said, I'm going to serve you in the most menial way that I can, so that you'll follow my example. Jesus gave himself up to the will of the Father, even if it meant he would suffer. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 13, we're told that God glorified him for the life that he lived, for the life of a servant. It says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. It couldn't be any clearer that Jesus, in his life on this earth, lived as a servant in submission to the Father, and the Father glorified him because of it. If all this, you know, maybe we've gone over all this and you said, well, that's Jesus. He did that for us, so we don't have to. Well, let's look at a passage that I think will show that it applies to us. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Golly, that's convicting. I think I struggle getting out of any day of the week without doing something that's selfish. Because we think we have to protect ourselves. If we don't look out for ourselves, who is? There's just one problem with that way of thinking. While it may be the American way to look out for number one, it's not Jesus' way. We aren't supposed to look out for our own interests alone, but also for the interests of others, considering others more significant than ourselves. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here's that identity thing again. Jesus knew who he was. He could have made everyone serve him, but instead he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant in the likeness of men and humbled himself and became obedient as a servant even when it took him to the cross. Verse 9, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, of God the Father. All glory, all honor, all power belongs to Jesus, and God the Father has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But in the meantime, he's called us to serve. He's called us to the way that he walked, to do what he did, the way that he did it. And it's totally contrary to our flesh, to our will, to our way. But it's where he's calling us. It's where he's going. It's how he's walking. It's the way he's taking. In another passage, Jesus said, count the cost. Think about what it means if you're going to choose to follow me. Do we really want to go that way? Do we really want to follow him? If we want to go to the Father, it's the only way. He is the only way. I want to invite our ministry teams to come forward. And I want you to consider what the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning and how he would call you to respond. I think a lot of times in our culture, the difference, certainly it's hard for us to serve in some manners. The interesting, there's a passage that says we're to love others like we love ourselves. And you could say that we're supposed to serve others like we would serve ourselves. One of the most simple ways that we would serve ourselves is the most difficult way to serve other people. How many of you, I hope you all answer yes, how many of you brush your teeth this morning? What's it mean to brush someone else's teeth? How many of you had to wash yourself? Maybe not this morning, maybe last night. I won't keep asking for hand raises. We just wash our bodies. But to do that for someone else, that's like the highest level of serving. But we do it for ourselves every day. We serve ourselves. Many years ago, I'd read that passage, and I was like, I don't think I love myself that much. And God showed me that way of looking at it. He's like, you do for yourself what would be almost impossible for you to do for someone else. That's how much we love ourselves. That's how much we serve ourselves. You get thirsty, you want a drink from Storms, you get in the car, you drive there, you get it, you buy it, you're satisfied. What would it take for you to do that for someone else? How do we love other people like we love ourselves? This morning, we've got an opportunity for you to come forward and receive prayer. I think this is one of those things that we struggle with to respond. We don't want to come up for prayer. Allow them, allow us to serve you in praying for you. And respond. If God is calling you this morning, Amanda's going to start leading us in worship. You can stand up as we get ready to worship. Come. If you need prayer for your marriage, come forward right now.
I confess.
I know there's people in here who need prayer for their children. Come pray for your children and have someone, a brother or sister in Christ, agree with you in prayer for your children. Right now, you can come forward. Let them serve you in that way. As we worship this morning, come right now. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus. He tried to tempt Jesus to worship him. And Jesus responded, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Father God, I pray that you would put in our heart a heart of worship, to worship you, Father, to serve you, Lord. Open our ears to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised us he would not leave us alone, but he would send us the helper. Father, we know that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are unified, are one. Lord, and that when we hear the Holy Spirit and follow him, we are following you. Father, open our hearts to see what you're doing in this earth, that we can do it with you, that we can serve with you. Lord, that we can proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, that he can be lifted up and glorified, Father. Glorify your Son in this world through your body, the body of Christ. Lord, give us hearts to worship you and to serve you. Father, we thank you. We thank you and we give you praise this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amanda will continue playing for a bit and we will continue to have the ministry teams available. If you need prayer, please come and receive prayer.